Hi, I'm Dr. Nathan, and as a follow-up to our laminitis podcast episode where I discussed the disease, I had a request to go through management of an actual laminitis case. Thanks, Clint. Keep listening. I appreciate the feedback and request. So, as a brief reminder, laminitis, more commonly known as founder, is where the hoof wall separates from the bone. This is done by rotation or sinking or both. Besides colic, this is one of the most feared things a horse owner can hear as a diagnosis, because while many cases have positive outcomes, it can be a serious disease. Anyway, it was a Saturday afternoon in spring. I got a call on my after-hour emergency line. Doc, my horse can barely stand. Get out here, it's an emergency. So out I went. When I got out there was a horse standing in front of the barn. On exam, it was bright and alert and responsive, and the owner reported it was up to date on vaccinations. Although I had never seen the horse before and they had no records, so I took this with a grain of salt. I did notice the horse had access to a field of lush green grass. When I observed the horse from a distance, both front legs appeared stiff and the horse did not want to bend them, and the horse seemed to be leaning backwards. On exam, the heart and lungs and the GI of the horse all oscillated within normal limits. Her mucous membranes were pink, and the CRT was less than 2. So the horse was obviously in some discomfort, but a stable animal. There were mild digital pulses in both front feet and none in the back feet. I was able to pick up all of the feet and use hoof testers on them, and there was no response to the hoof testers being applied. The horse was drastically overweight and had a cresty neck. So, I discussed weight loss with the owner and management of a horse that was getting a lot of pasture access to very lush grass. I told the owner how this horse needed to lose weight. This horse might have an underlying metabolic problem that we needed to address. So for the long term, I recommended a grazing muzzle to reduce the amount of grass the horse could eat, as well as not feeding any grain to this horse, as it was a pasture pet only. The owner seemed very hesitant about making management changes and was very concerned about the current state of the horse. As I said, founder and colic scare horse owners. Sometimes, as the vet, I discuss the long term with owners before the short term to help them calm down. I figure if they hear me discussing long term, they will understand I'm not as worried about the animal dying here and now. And while laminitis can take quick turns to become deadly, having managed a lot of laminitic horses, I also know that many could do well. At first assessment, this case was not concerning me. I brought the conversation away from a horse needing to be put down by explaining we can likely manage this laminitis, but I would like to run blood work to rule out underlying problems that, if we can treat, may prevent this from happening again. The owner declined, still more concerned about the horse being uncomfortable. I decided my play at calming the owner of being concerned about laminitis wasn't working. However, I wasn't going to state this animal would be fine because, well, I knew it could still not. I started explaining that I have a feeling that this animal got into too much rich grass. This upset his intestines and sent some toxins into his blood that have hurt the sensitive structures in the feet. I gave a dose of Banamine IV, explaining this would have some anti-endotoxin effects and start reducing the pain. Then I explained tomorrow the horse could start an NSAID called Equiox. That will be a pain med that we give daily, and it's newer and safer than Bute. I tried bringing back to diagnostics, explaining we could radiograph the horse's hooves to see if there's more damage in the hooves than we realize, but the owner again declined. Next, I recommended soaking both front feet in Epsom salts and betadine once a day in case this was a hoof abscess that was fooling us into thinking laminitis. I don't typically do this with laminitic cases, but there were a lot of rainstorms recently, and while not a mud pit, I was covering some bases. Lastly, To help calm the gut, I recommend it keeping the horse in the dry lot with no grain and hay diet only. While sometimes I inform people to soak their hay with water, I decided this case did not yet warrant that. I told the owner that if the horse didn't get better over the weekend, to come to my office Monday morning and pick up a script for some Pentoxy filing, explaining after the insult to the foot has occurred, I want to get healing blood back into the foot. This product would do that. I then recommended getting a farrier out this week to trim the feet, which were a touch long, and that way the farrier could add some support to the feet as well to help reduce pain. While this wasn't the big workup you may imagine with a laminitis case, this is a fairly common occurrence in the spring. The horse gets a little sore from too much rich food and needs a little help getting back to normal. Most of these cases with a little help would be back to normal in about 2 weeks. I provided some immediate relief to the horse and stopped the suspected cause of the problem, too much grass, and the farrier could get some support on to relieve more pain. I left feeling like this case would go well. The other thing which you may have noticed is that this horse could have equine metabolic syndrome or Cushing's, and we didn't get to address that, but we offered and the owner declined. We have to remember, this is their pet and they decide how to proceed. When I left the farm, I had a feeling the horse would feel better and get through this bout of the problem, but that this could easily recur because I think there may be some underlying factors the owner needed to address. On Monday, the owner reported that the farrier came out on Sunday and did not apply any support. I informed the owner that there needed to be a three-pronged approach to recovery. One was support, two was pain control, and three was helping the foot heal. Since the farrier did not put on any support on the feet, I recommended increasing bedding and getting the farrier back out to apply support. The owner said the horse had not improved yet, so I wrote a script for Pentoxy filing for the owner to start. The owner picked that up and started that medication. 5 days after treatment began, the owner called to report the horse wasn't getting any better, but at the same time reported it had been standing, which it wasn't standing before. This was confusing, as I had seen the horse stand when I had seen it, but the owner was adamant the horse had not been standing and now was easily standing, but then said it wasn't any better. Often owners report conflicting information and they get frustrated when I try to pin them down with an answer. I'm trying to pin them because I'm giving my recommendation on what's happening and the owners are often my eyes and ears. In this case, I decided to go with the owner and what they were actually saying. They were telling me that the horse was in so much pain that it couldn't stand, and now it was at a point where it could stand. To me, I didn't care about the details. The horse went from a point of not standing to a point of standing. Improvement. Often I get owners frustrated with me because I tend to ignore the smaller details of their story, which they are more than happy to relay to me multiple times. And then they get disappointed when I ignore them. It's not the details, but what has happened overall. I've heard hundreds of stories of how different animals improve. I use those details, don't get me wrong, but in this situation, I heard by the owner's own admission the horse had reduced enough pain that it could again stand. I was utterly surprised when the owner then requested a euthanasia. I told the owner, if the horse is getting better on treatment, I think we should give the treatment at least 2 weeks. It's been only 5 days and we have seen improvement. My typical recovery from this is 2 weeks. The owner then buckled down and insisted the horse was not getting any better. I informed the owner standing versus laying all the time is an improvement. We got in a shouting match over the phone and the owner stated they were going to euthanize this horse because it was suffering and if I wouldn't, they would get someone else who would. I buckled down. I had went out on an emergency and given my afternoon to help this horse, and on day 5 out of 14, the horse was improving. While a horse with laminitis easily could warrant euthanasia to prevent suffering, I saw a horse that was uncomfortable, but not miserably in pain 5 days ago. I just couldn't bring myself to go euthanize this horse that was improving. Sure, it was the owner's animal and it was his decision, but to a point, it's still my decision as a business owner and a veterinarian as to whether I will actually perform a service. There are reasons I can and will euthanize an animal. This did not seem to fit any of them. I wondered if this was what I should do. I lost that client, and we were both mad. And I wondered about the horse. Was it getting better? Should I have euthanized it? I didn't hear much about it until a year later I drove past the farm and remembered my argument with the owner. I slowed down as I drove by and looked down the field. There was the horse, fat, happy, and grazing as it walked calmly and smoothly through the field. A year after that, the owner called requesting bute paste for the horse. My staff told the owner it was a prescription product and we would need to see the horse to be able to dispense any medications, since we had not seen the horse in 2 years. The owner declined the appointment. So, was that what you expected with a laminitis or founder case? It certainly had some turns I didn't expect, and some I did. I see a lot of minor, if you can call any minor, cases in the spring, when our horses get some rich food. I treat them with NSAIDs, pentoxifilin, and offer some support, and they are typically fine. Often owners don't see enough of a problem to want to do more diagnostics that I offer, and that's fine. It's understandable that when things don't look bad, you don't want to get too in-depth. I have learned to start the pentoxifilin faster, as often horse owners are calling me later than they realize in the course of the disease. So I often start that at the first appointment now. Laminitis is scary both because it's a bad disease and because there are a lot of expenses associated with the disease. Even with simple cases, those diagnostics can help prove it is a simple case of laminitis. So I wasn't surprised when the owner declined diagnostics. I also find I don't push the radiographs as much in my region. Why? Because of the last issue I have. Finding qualified farriers and farriers who will work with veterinarians is a challenge. I would love to get x-rays on every foundered horse. However, one of the big reasons I do this is so the farrier can use those for determining how to add hoof support. After so many attempts of sending farriers this information and not having it used, I tend to want to spend the client's money in a more productive manner. So, I'm not saying anything bad about this farrier. They may have determined the horse didn't need support. It may have been better by the time they saw it on Sunday, even though this didn't jive with what the owner was saying. If the horse had started to lay more than stand, then support would have been more important. Did the farrier not want to do the work? Did the farrier not know what work was needed to be completed? Did the owner decline those services as well? There are a lot of variables in this scenario, and once I was off the farm, I was only able to evaluate the situation through the ability of others to communicate to me. It didn't surprise me the horse did fine. Many horses are fine with laminitis. I had a feeling this case would be back to normal in 2 weeks. I just can't tell you which case may need a hoof wall resection for survival and which won't. I have wondered if the client afterwards said, "Well, the vet did cross me, but in the end, he saved my horse." Or if the client was just mad at me for not doing what they wanted. It's hard to tell. What I took away from this is honest communication is needed to care for animals. The owners have to be honest about what they want, and a vet has to listen to that communication so they can say if they can provide those services or not. The vet doesn't have to offer every service an owner wants. I try to provide multiple levels of care. There's not exactly a wrong level if the goal of the owners, vet, and patient are met. Oh yeah, and the state. I've had clients walk out because they wouldn't let me perform the legal minimum on animals. I'm like, we have to give a rabies vaccine to this dog. It's just state law. But after that, it's much more what the client wants. I like giving options to clients so they can choose what works best for their lifestyle and how they want to care for their animal. But there is a slight difference between us as veterinary professionals and a fast food joint. We do not just cater to clients, but also the state, and we have our own ethical standards to hold to as well. We can't always just say yes to clients. In this case, the horse did fine. We managed his pain. We at least informed the owner of possible underlying issues, even if we did not diagnose them. I think this was a problem with the fresh grass, and having seen the horse for years later in the field, the owner must have adapted to lessen this problem in the future. I'm not sure we mechanically helped the horse, but to a point, that was out of veterinarian care. Another professional or client decided not to do this. Did the client euthanize the horse like they wanted? No, but I was able to sleep at night and the horse survived. Did we run every diagnostic we wanted? No, but we provided the minimum the horse needed to get better, and the client was made aware of underlying problems we could diagnose, and the next steps we could take to help to get the horse better. I'm Dr. Nathan. Thanks for listening. I hope our discussions are valuable to you and aid in giving perspective. If you want to contact us, please reach out to theveterinarypodcast@gmail.com. You can find a complete list of the podcast episodes on SoundCloud. If you find this information helpful and want more content, please join our Patreon, patreon.com/theveterinarypodcast. And don't forget to follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/theveterinarypodcast. As always, thanks for listening, and I hope this information is helpful to you. If you do find it helpful, please like it, share it, so other people may find it helpful as well.